SB Nation's Charlie Walton joins Hoopsology and maps out the key moment that sparked the T-Wolves' eventual rise to contention. We also get his opinions on the evolution and potential of Anthony Edwards and discuss realistic expectations towards the playoffs for the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is a fantastic chat as Charlie Walton covers the Timberwolves for not only SB Nation's Cannabis Hoopus, but also zone coverage as well. This was a great, great chat as Charlie had a lot of great insight as to one of the new kids in the block in the Western Conference. Hoopsology is presented by Ball's Life, and now, Charlie Walton. He covers the Minnesota Timberwolves for Cannabis Hoopus, for SB Nation and zone coverage. We have the pleasure in welcoming Charlie Walton onto Hoopsology. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you guys so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I love your guys' podcast, so just I'm honored that you guys decided to call me.
Oh, much appreciated. And so much. I got to kind of apologize because we like to cover all of the teams within the NBA, but we have kind of slept on and neglected the Timberwolves. And,
this year? Out of all the years? This is the year?
Yeah, anyway, we're trying to a little bit accused of hopping on the bandwagon, but I think it's appropriate just due to what's been going on with them. So can you kind of take us on a journey of the Timberwolves becoming a Western Conference contender? Because I think in previous years, they've been known, if you correct me if I'm wrong, this is a little bit of a disappointment. Like, what's the future of this team? Right. Several of their components, and now it's all coming together. So can you kind of paint us a picture, maybe from kind of the COVID years with the Rudy Gobert and everything went down with that, to him arriving in Minnesota, to him and his chemistry with Karl Anthony Towns, to now where, you know, they might be poised to make a huge run in the playoffs.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a long time coming, guys. You know, the Wolves haven't had a contending team since 2004, right? So 20 years longer than I've been alive, right? So, but before the show, I was trying to think of like a turning point of when they switched from like this rebuilding team with their sights set on the future to now where they are right now, right? And my mind keeps going back to the 2021-22 season, particularly the summer before that season. It's when Gerson Rosas, who was the president of basketball operations at the time, he brought in Patrick Beverley and in exchange for Juancho Hernangómez and Jarrett Culver. And on the surface, the trade just kind of, it didn't turn too many heads, right? It was just, you're bringing in a veteran point guard, right? And but it turned out to be a huge culture defining moment. And he helped build culture, both on a team and a fan-wide level. And it translated to wins, too. Not that Patrick Beverley was the only reason they won, but definitely a big part of it, right? They finished sixth in the West. And for the second time in 18 years, they made the playoffs. But after that 1 year, Tim Connelly came in and in May, and two months later, he decided it was his time to make his stamp on the team, right? And to do that, he shipped out Beverley, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, right? Three parts who were key in that big playoff season, along with Leandro Morrow, Walker Kessler, five first round picks, obviously, for Rudy Gobert. And it was a shocker, right? And it conjured up negative and positive reactions from Wolves fans, NBA fans, everybody. But to me, it confirmed that the Wolves were finally entering into this championship or bust mindset. And Karl Anthony Towns addressed that too during his presser after he was signed to the Supermax contract. He said it's championship or bust, right? So I think overall, I think it's Tim Connelly deserves a lot of credit for how he's put together this Wolves team, right? Because you look at the Rudy Gobert trade, which didn't look great last year, like you mentioned, right? It was, you know, you had Walker Kessler playing in Utah, arguably playing better than Rudy Gobert, right? And was a rookie. But now, looking back on it, it's like I said, I think it's a major win for the Wolves. And then at the trade deadline last year, they flipped D'Angelo Russell, who was having some fit issues next to Gobert, didn't really get the most out of Rudy. For Mike Conley, who's been kind of the grease to the Wolves' gears all year and ever since he's came to the team. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he's been the kind of glue guy. And then two future first-round picks. And during this time, he's also locked up Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, all the long-term contracts. And most recently, he traded for Monte Morris in exchange for Troy Brown Jr. and Shake Milton, both of whom weren't in the rotation, right? So you trade two and a future second round pick, but you trade two guys not playing for Monte Morris, who has a potential to not only help now, but he's going to help relieve minutes off Mike Conley's back, help in the playoffs, and then hopefully maybe replace Mike Conley at some point if he can blossom and stick around that long. So overall, I think Tim Connelly, like I said, he's been instrumental in crafting this championship level roster for Chris Finch and his staff to work with. And then on the court, it's this season in particular, it's been their defense, right? Above the culture. It's what has them at the third seed right now. And it's what's been their driving force to so much success this season. And, you know, I mean, their defensive rating is an NBA low 108.4, and it's 2 points lower than the Boston Celtics, who are the next closest team. And aside from Gobert, the Wolves are just littered with these versatile, scrappy, lengthy defenders, you know, like McDaniels, Alexander Walker, Kyle Anderson, Towns, the list goes on, Anthony Edwards, Mike Conley. So on that end of the court, they've been stellar. On offense, it's not been the same. They've been middle of the pack. Off the bench, their offense hasn't been great. But recently, I've noticed the ball movement has improved quite a bit, which is huge. It's been after the Karl-Anthony Towns injury, which that's happened. And you need to figure out a way going forward, right, to manufacture 22 more points per game, right? You have to find that. And it's not going to be a linear path. You can't ask someone in particular to tack on 10 or 15 more points a game. And a way to get more points, right, is, of course, lock down a defense, but then pass the ball. And the Wolves have done that. It's not only helped with the team's offense, but it's also helped tremendously in the minutes where Anthony Edwards isn't on the floor.
So I want to ask you about Patrick Beverley. Correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of mentality, they had a similar player within Jimmy Butler, and we know how that went. So what was the difference with Patrick Beverley changing the culture? They're similar, and yet I get the sense from you that Patrick Beverley had a much more positive effect. So what was the difference between Butler and then Patrick Beverley's
approach? Yeah, there was some concern when Beverley was brought in from people if that same would happen, right? You have a guy who's very loud, very outspoken. And I honestly, looking back on it now, I think maybe just everybody was a little bit more mature in the situation, right? Because you look back on what Jimmy Butler and his exit from Minnesota, it wasn't a great look, right? That infamous final practice he had where he showed up and he was wearing a Rolex and he ran with the third stringers and was talking all types of trash. But I think just overall, it was the way that maybe Patrick Beverley communicated with the team. Jimmy Butler came to this team and from an outside point of view, it felt like he thought, and he needed to be, right, like the number one option. He needed to be that type of player. And Patrick Beverley, he came to the team, he knew he wasn't the number one option, but he said that someone said, you know, man, Pat, I've never been to the playoffs before. Like one of his teammates told that to him. And he's like, well, you know, we got to fix that. Like, I can't believe you're saying that to me. And I just think overall his relationship, especially with guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, right? I mean, having a veteran like Patrick Beverley, who kind of has an overall negative connotation over his name, just because of how physical and scrappy he is on the court, for how positive of a relationship him and Anthony Edwards still do. It really helped because Ant's had some great veterans in his corner. So just overall, I think it was Beverly's approach to being that locker room presence and everyone's maturity level in the situation.
Charlie, a lot of great info in your opening answer there. I want to go back and maybe tie in ownership to the timeline that you mentioned. What shift have you seen with the ownership? I mean, I'm sure that's a massive part of bringing in Tim Connelly and everything that we've seen that fell under that. I mean, is this just a more serious ownership group now? What are you seeing there?
Yeah, I think it's just a refreshed look, to be honest with you. Glenn Taylor, he's been here for a long time and everyone has their own opinions with him. There's a lot of people that don't really care for the guy. And of course, I don't know him, right? I can only speak on behalf of what's been made public. A lot of fans don't care for Glenn Taylor because of his falling out with Kevin Garnett. And there's a reason why Kevin Garnett hates the Wolves, or not hates the Wolves, but just doesn't want to be a part of the Wolves and doesn't want his jersey in the Raptors quite yet. But like I said, just getting a new face in, I think, or new faces, was big. A-Rod, Mark Laurie, Chris Finch, said that, you know, Mark Laurie, he's the financial guru side of things. And then Chris Finch said A-Rod's the sex appeal, right? He's the big name, you know, and it's just, they've came at a great time too. They've been purchasing when the Wolves are now starting to win. And, like I said, they've had talks where they say they want to build a new arena, and they're making all of these great claims of the future, which is just great. I mean, everyone wants to hear that, right? And I don't think Glenn Taylor really talked enough about that. But I do have respect for Glenn Taylor. He was a reason the Wolves stayed in Minnesota when he purchased the team. So, but yeah, just having a refreshed look and newer minds in the ownership group is good, because they just closed or they just submitted the final bid for the Wolves, which, after there were some rumors where they didn't have enough money, they had to go seek out another financial partner to purchase the Wolves. But it looks like now all is good, and then they're on track to become majority owners.
Awesome. I want to also kind of unpack that Gobert trade, because I think when it went down, and then even during last season when Gobert was kind of finding his footing on the team, or just getting adjusted, or just honestly having an outlier year for himself, and there's a while there where some would maybe categorize that trade as like a borderline laughingstock or like one of the worst contract trades ever. Thankfully, I always root for that not to be the case. I don't want to see players get that narrative stamped on them, things like that. So it's great to see that this year. What have you seen between last year and this year that has really changed, kind of flipped the script on the whole thing?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think Rudy Gobert, he had a lot of expectation to perform last year, right? Tim Conley brought him in, and Wolves fans, because the Wolves in the 2022 playoffs, they got bounced in the first round against the Grizzlies. They got obliterated on the glass, they and in the paint, so they knew they needed to get bigger in that area. And Jared Vanderbilt was starting next to Karl Anthony Towns, and Cat has been a four kind of the majority of his career. So I mean, he's been the five, but he's played more four duties, especially on offense. So they knew they had to get some more size, and they brought in Rudy Gobert. And I think a lot of people expected him to just fix everything. And you have to remember, he had a pretty severe knee injury that he suffered in Eurobasket in the summer before the season. So he came playing for the new team for his first new team in his entire career, right? Ooh. Injured. And then his training camp was hampered because of that. And then Karl Anthony Towns had a pretty nasty illness during training camp, so he wasn't able to play and get acclimated with Gobert. So I think there was just too much expectation placed at Gobert's feet. And you're seeing it now. The Wolves, they're healthy, right? And now they're going through a bit of an injury bug, but they've been healthy. Gobert has been healthy. He said he's in the best shape of his life. And Mike Conley too, I think his presence, right? That was part of the reason Tim Conley had traded for Mike, was to get somebody who could play next to Rudy. Cause D'Angelo Russell, like I mentioned, he just didn't really know how to play next to Rudy Gobert. They never developed a great chemistry. And of course, Mike Conley and Rudy played a lot in Utah together, so bringing him in was kind of a no-brainer in that regard. Conley's been much better than just integrating Rudy Gobert into the offense, but like I just think there's too much expectation on Rudy. It's happening now because he's healthy, and the coaching staff, everybody's just used to each other, right? They had that season and the summer, and like you got to remember too, Rudy was traded in July, right? And that's usually when players are full swing in their offseason workouts. And he came, Karl Anthony Towns was sleeping when the trade was, when he got a call from, I believe, his girlfriend saying, you know, you guys traded for Rudy. And he's like, who, Rudy Gay? No, Rudy Gobert. And yeah. And it's like, he didn't have any knowledge prior. And then he has to switch his offseason workout from, okay, I'm trying to bulk up to be center and to not have this Memphis series happen again. But okay, no, now we have Rudy Gobert coming in. I have to slim down. And, you know, there's only a couple months or not even until training camp begins. So just a lot of poor factors and a lot of unfortunate factors went into kind of the underwhelming season last year.
Can you go over the evolution of Anthony Edwards? Several, you know, mainstream basketball influencers has pegged this guy as like the next face of the league.
Yeah.
He has had that monster poster a couple of days ago. Like,
unreal.
Where do you think his ceiling is, and do you think he's kind of the next kind of key cornerstone of this franchise? Because I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Karl Anthony Towns. That's not seemed to pan out that way, but with the addition of Anthony Edwards, he seems to be the number one guy. Like, where do you think his ceiling is in terms of not only leading the Timberwolves to possible championships, but it's being kind of the cornerstone for this franchise for years to come?
Yeah, the sky's the limit. And it's just crazy to think that he's still only 22 years old. And I mean, he carries himself like he's a 10-year vet, you know, and it's like he's, you know, like everything like a casual fan might see about him on social media, it's 100% true. He's charismatic. He's the most charismatic player that I've ever seen up close, right? Just on the court and then during his media scrums. He's always very quick to divert credit to his teammates, and he genuinely wants to see his teammates succeed, which is an incredible attribute to have at such a young age, right? And you know, I brought up culture, right, with Patrick Beverley and how he was a tide turner. Anthony Edwards is the same way, and he's arguably probably now had a bigger impact, right? Because Target Center has been sold out for every single game this season, I'm pretty sure. Except maybe the first couple games weren't, but the vast majority of games have been sold out this year. And it's, fans are coming to see the Wolves win and to see the team, but they're also primarily coming to see Anthony Edwards. A lot of young kids with number five, number one jerseys on, crowding the tunnel when he comes out, just a massive roar ensues. And it's just, it reminds me of like when LeBron takes the floor. I was in LA seeing the Lakers play the Wolves last week, and LeBron took the floor and just the crowd went nuts just for his pregame warmups, right? And I'm not comparing LeBron to Ant, but it's just that type of presence, right? When he steps on the court, it's just incredible. And like you said, you mentioned the dunk, you never know what you're going to see from him, right? He had that dunk, but then the game right after, right? It was Tuesday at Target Center against the Nuggets. He put on 14 points in the quarter, and the Wolves were dead to rights before that game started. They didn't have Towns, Gobert, or Naz Reid, and they're going up against the current best center in the league that's healthy, right? Nikola Jokic. And they put together a comeback push to take a lead in the fourth quarter. Ultimately, they fell short. They didn't win, but he was hyping up the crowd. He was getting them involved. The fans just love him here. It's Anthony Edwards mania, right? And earlier on in that road trip, before that Utah game against the Pacers, Ant had that dunk where he, or that, excuse me, that block where he hit his head on the rim, like, yep, to seal the game. It was just incredible. And then after that, the Wolves, like I said, they were in LA for that Clippers game, 22-point comeback. Ant was huge when he was exiting the floor. He had MVP chants from the Crypto Arena crowd. It's not hard to see why fans are captivated by him. I think to answer your question, he is 100% got the makeup to be the next face of the NBA. He's definitely the cornerstone. I think he's the best thing to happen to Wolves basketball since Kevin Garnett. And when it's all said and done, of course, depending on the Wolves' success with him on the roster, I think he's got a chance to be the best player in franchise history.
So now there's heightened expectations. You mentioned he handles himself as a 10-year vet, but now they're probably going to be entering as a high seed within the Western Conference. So with heightened expectations, Denver has really been proven to possibly shown signs of a dynasty. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But I would say if the Timberwolves don't live up to expectations, is there a fear of, I guess, disappointment, affecting Anthony Edwards negatively, or do you think he would rise to the occasion? Like, fans were fickle. Like, things can shift very, very quickly. Yeah. So with Anthony Edwards, do you think he has the mentality to kind of not only deal with him being the cornerstone of heightened expectations for the Timberwolves, but deal with some disappointments and overcome that in later years? Like, how do you expect that's going to play out this year? Because it's a little bit different. Like, the Timberwolves are not going to be some sleeper team. They're going to be expected to be a contender in this year's playoffs. So how do you kind of see that panning out?
Yeah, that's a great point, because when you look at it too, the Wolves don't really have many expectations, or they didn't heading into this season, right? You knew they were going to try to be a contender and try to be good, of course. But now they do. Now they're the hunted, right? They've been the hunted this year. Now, granted, they're not the first seed anymore, but they held the first seed for like 80 straight days, I believe, in the West. And when you look at it, Anthony Edwards hasn't had like heartbreak, I guess you could say, in the NBA, right? Like, he hasn't had a game seven loss, that he missed the game, I believe, to tie the game against Denver, which ultimately was I think game five was the final game. But you're right in that he hasn't really gone through that level of negativity. But I talk about this a lot, and it gets brought up a conversation where, like, he just has it. It's like, what's it? He just has it. You can't really describe it. Like, he loves the moment. I look back early in the year, the Wolves beat the Boston Celtics, gave them their first loss of the season at home. And it was just an incredible victory. Anthony Edwards willed the team, and he revels in that moment. He lives for those moments. And he has had issues right at times with ball movement, like knowing when to shoot, when to pass. But for example, I mean, he's confident, right? And at the end of the day, having a confident star, you can't be a star without confidence, right? And Malika Andrews asked him on ESPN a while ago, do you think the Wolves have a chance to win a championship this year? And to that, he said, yes, right? Because what are you going to respond, right? I mean, it's like, you can't say no. But he was like, the only thing standing in our way is ourselves. You know, he's myself. It's like, I got to be able to perform in the late stages. We have to be able to perform. So I definitely, it'll be interesting to see. I think it's a great point, Justin, of just how he navigates that and how he will rise to the occasion. I do think he will be able to handle that and use it as motivation, right? If the Wolves don't play, you know, don't have the postseason they hope for this year, which is very possible. They still don't have, they've got more guys with postseason experience, but we have yet to see them in the playoffs, of course. So I think he will handle, and if they perform poor in the playoffs, I think he'll come back next season and try to prove everybody wrong, try to prove another point.
From what you're seeing, Charlie, you mentioned expectations, which I think is a very interesting question for this team specifically. You mentioned Anthony Edwards, of course, being 22 and kind of needs to go through his hero's journey. I would presume a season or two before typically we see a player like rise to a title.
Right.
So I would argue, I don't know that many people are really penciling in the Timberwolves into the finals, certainly, especially with the Nuggets and what they did last year. But what do you see in terms of those expectations? I mean, do you think missing like the Western Finals would be considered a disappointment, or even getting to the second round is further than they did last year?
Yeah. So for me, I've said this for since they jumped out to the season really hot. It's like, and I can't remember if Tim Connelly said it or not. They set in with a goal, of course, this season to make a deep postseason run, but to get out of the first round, right? That's been a bugaboo, and they haven't done that, I believe, since 2004. It must have been since 2004. So another 20 years, right? And for me to define this season as a win, if they can host a first round playoff series and get out of the first round, I will be happy. I will look at the season as a win. Of course, if you ask anybody on the team, they have their sights set higher. But I like your point, Matt, on just the like how quick it's all happening, right? This is just it happened. It's like boom, Rudy Gobert's healthy, boom, Karl-Anthony Towns was healthy, and the Wolves are the first seed. And Anthony Edwards has risen to a prominent young star. And typically, like are the odds stacked against him to make it all the way and win a championship? 100%, right? It just doesn't happen frequently. But I do think, you know, it'd be foolish to bet against them. Like, we don't know what Anthony Edwards truly is. We've seen that he likes to step up to the plate and perform in these high pressure situations. But I think a lot of Minnesota's postseason success is going to heavily depend on, of course, health, right? Getting Karl-Anthony Towns back. And like, if you look at the Nuggets last year, I believe they had the same starting lineup for every single game in the playoffs. That's a very lucky thing to have happen. But if the Wolves can stay healthy, and then it's also matchup dependent. I think teams like the New Orleans Pelicans really pose a tough challenge, and the Lakers, right? You never want to see LeBron in the playoffs. And then they also match up quite well against the Wolves. So if the Wolves can get some matchup help, and in the first round, especially, I think they could. Like I said, it'd be foolish to bet against them. I'm very interested to see what happens. I'm not sold on them being championship contenders, especially. I mean, if you want to say they go all the way to the finals and they meet Boston, I don't think anybody's beating Boston. They're just on another level, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the Denver Nuggets are probably going to make another Western Conference push. I think Nuggets Wolves a playoff series would be a lot of fun. You know, I've talked to people that are, you know, cover the Nuggets or are fans of the Nuggets, and a lot of them say that and even Bruce Brown said it, the Wolves gave the Nuggets their hardest challenge last year in the playoffs, and they were without Kyle Anderson for game five. They were without Jay McDaniels and Naz Reid for the entire first round. So it makes you wonder, what can a fully healthy Wolves team that's an incredible half court defense do in the playoffs? And, you know, like we said, I mean, the sky's the limit for Anthony Edwards, and I think that he could truly lead a team. It just might be a little early right now.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that too. In terms of matching up with Denver, a lot of those games were very interesting towards the end there. And it was different how it played out compared to what you saw on the court with how close those games felt. I felt, at least watching those. Wanted to ask you too, you answered part of my follow-up in like potentially not wanting to see the Pelicans, Lakers. I guess where are the Timberwolves suited to have strength in matchups in the postseason? I mean, I would say, honestly, just to give you my thought, like I'm looking at Phoenix And that just seems like a bad matchup, you know, size wise, depth wise. I know KD scares everybody fairly so, but if I'm the Timberwolves, I'm not going to say it. You don't say that, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But... We don't fear anybody, like John Morant said, whatever, you know, he's fine in the West, whatever he said. Yeah.
Exactly. But where do you think, I mean, is, I guess size is kind of the obvious thing to look at, but where are some other matchups? Don't necessarily have to name teams, but where do the Timberwolves stand out and have a great advantage over other teams in the West?
Yeah, I think the Sacramento Kings would be a really fun and entertaining series. I think the Wolves could give Sacramento a good challenge. I just heard, was it Kevin Huerter was injured? Has some type of, like, I don't know how long he'll be out, but it sounded like not a great injury I heard this morning, which this never, you never like to hear that. But the Kings would be a lot of fun. Domantas Sabonis, I think he matches up quite, I think Sabonis actually plays well against Rudy Gobert, but looking at the team from a whole, De'Aaron Fox, right? They're a very good team. And I think the Wolves, it just, they sound very confident playing the Kings for whatever reason. Jay McDaniels was asked about it too, after the Wolves lost to the Kings at home a couple weeks ago. He didn't seem too concerned. He's like, we're pretty confident we can beat them in a 7-game series. The Clippers, I think as much as you don't want to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the postseason healthy, the Wolves have had LA's number, and you know that they blew the Clippers out earlier in the year at crypto.com arena. And like you said, Matt, it's their size, right? It's their height inside. For whatever reason, Tyronn Lue went small ball for a good chunk of that game, and it was ultimately their demise. And but the Wolves have, it's interesting too, because you have the dynamic of Anthony Edwards, but he plays very well alongside Rudy Gobert, right? And the pick and roll game there. And then you have Karl-Anthony Towns to just muck everything up from deep. He can attack off, you know, off the dribble. Jay McDaniels, we'd like to see him be a little bit more active on offense. And he has been. We saw him put up, I think, he put up a season high against the Denver Nuggets on Tuesday. But like you said, it's going to be size dependent. And the Suns too, Yusuf Nurkic, he's just a big body. Like, he just plays well. He's just solid. And like I said, the Lakers, Anthony Davis, I mean, he had, what, 25 and 27 last time the Wolves played. Granted, they didn't have Rudy Gobert, but it's really just whoever they had can have a size advantage against. That's what they're going to have to lean into. Karl-Anthony Towns was asked about that too. He said the same thing recently, just tapping into that size and depth too. The Wolves bench, it hasn't been great this year. So they're not going to be deeper than another. They might not. They're probably not going to be deeper than another team that, or a team they match up against, right? Their offense hasn't been great off the bench. They have good pieces, right? Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Naz Reid, Monte Morris. They just don't have like a scoring punch off the bench, I guess you could say, aside from Naz Reid. So it's going to be dependent on size and really just individual matchups, especially Anthony Edwards. Like, if he goes up against the Clippers, they defended Terrence Mann defended him, right? And that's just a tough matchup for Terrence Mann. I feel, you know, like anybody that has to go up against Anthony Edwards, it's tough. So, but yeah, I think Anthony Edwards holds the key there. And of course the size.
So Charlie, I want to ask you to give your perspective on just the Minnesota Timberwolves fan base, what it has, a lot of our experts, just to take us into what different fan bases around the league's mentality is towards their teams. Yeah. So can you kind of give us your perspective on kind of what fans expect from the Timberwolves, especially this year with their most recent success? Now that, like we discussed earlier with Anthony Edwards, are their expectations a lot higher just due to what's happened with the team? Like, kind of take us, you know, if you have perspective from the Garnett era to now, just in terms of what this fan base feels it's about basketball within Minnesota.
Yeah. So, my mom has a friend, his name's Tim. He's been a fan of Wolves basketball for as long as the team's been around, right? 35 years, right, or whatever. And he's seen a lot of the dark days and some of the good days, right, with Kevin Garnett and stuff. And I've always known him as a pessimistic fan. And when I was starting to be a fan, because I'm only 18, guys. I wasn't around when Kevin Garnett was dominating, right? So I can't speak from personal experience, but he was always, you know, I was always a naive fan. You know, it's like, I just like coming to the games. Like, I don't care if the Wolves are 20 and whatever, like, I just like coming. And you know, he would be there and or whatever, and I would just hear, and he would always be more of a downer. And it's just like, rightfully so. I think he shares a same minds, a same mental outlook as a lot of more knowledgeable and older Wolves fans, because they've seen and they've been through those dark times. But this season before a game, we were watching the players warm up, and he told me, or I either asked him or he asked me, do you think the Wolves have what it takes to win a championship? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know quite yet. I'm not quite sold. And this was a couple months ago. I'm like, the offense hasn't been great. The defense has been good. I just don't know if they're quite there yet. And he tells me, he's like, why not? This might be their year. And it's like, you know, he was like, you know, they had good wins. Their defense has been solid. And it's like, here you have somebody, like I said, who's been, as long as I've known him, more negative. He also bought his first Timberwolves jersey in his life, you know, at just unprecedented times. So I think it's just the Wolves fans really deserve this. And we may be known for hockey up here, but I really think, and it's been said, that this is a basketball town. This is a basketball state. They just haven't had a good team to root for. And the only times that Target Center would be packed would be for like Lakers or Celtics games, and half the arena would be purple and gold or green, you know, and that still happens when big name teams come, but it's packed, like I mentioned, every single game. And it's to see the Wolves. It's to see the Wolves win. And they've been rising up with the team. You know, it's like I said, it's really unprecedented times for a lot of the fans like me. I wasn't around when Kevin Garnett was here. There's a lot of young kids coming to the games. They see Ant, right? Like, I want to be like Ant. It's super cool to see. I've been to every home game so far, and just to watch it, just watch the building fill out every single night, and how much passion these fans have, because I think sports fans in general are very passionate, devoted to their teams, but Timberwolves fans, it's just a different type. You know, of course I'm biased because I cover this team and I'm a fan of this team, but they're just different type of animal, I think. And, you know, Wolves Twitter, right, the social media, there's a lot of great public fans on there. There's great content creators, right, that are covering the team. Michael and Jim, the Bally Sports play-by-play guys for the Wolves, are incredible, just in heightening up everything. So Minnesota is a very tough place to play now. And it's not just because it gets cold up here. It's Target Center is a small building. It's very vertical. There's not much space between the court and the fans, and the fans are loud, and it's just so much fun. And I'm just really happy for Wolves fans all over the place that are getting this. You know, there's been people flying in from Europe to come see games, France. And it's just really cool to see the fan base rising up. And I wrote about that too for Zone Coverage a while ago, just to see the fans rising with the team and creating a true home court advantage, which will be huge in the playoffs.
Charlie, this has been a fantastic chat. Thanks for spending some time with us. Please let our audience know where they can find you on social media, where they can find your coverage, and any other projects you're working on as well.
Yeah,
well,
thank you guys so much. I this is a lot of fun. I always love yammering about the Wolves. So I got a Tuesday column at Zone Coverage. You can just search Charlie Walton, Zone Coverage MN. I write every Tuesday there. And then Canis Hoopus, like you mentioned at the top. I do primarily game previews, game breakdowns over there. And then Instagram coverage and Twitter coverage, or X coverage, I guess now. And that's really pretty much it. Like I said, I so appreciate you guys reaching out. This is an honor. And like I said, it's always great to talk to Wolves. So thank you guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Thank you, Charlotte.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hoopsology, presented by Vaz Life. If you have comments or questions about this episode, please email hoopsologypod@gmail.com. Also, leave us a review on iTunes and follow us on all social media platforms.